Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude. Shock Therapy Live.
We are back.
Yes, we are. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Here we are. Shock dude, Therapy Live.
I'm stoked.
Pastor Nate Heitzig, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Welcome, Steve-O.
If you are new to Shock Therapy Live, it is our one-hour talk show, call-in show, centered around your questions. We want to know what you're dealing with, what's going on in your world. This isn't, as the big voice guy said, systematic theology, but it is a time to dig into the Word together, to go back to the Bible and see what the Word of God says. We don't care about opinions or, but Joel Osteen said, no, dude, what does the Bible say? So if you have questions, that's what we're here for. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, you could Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or if you'd like to remain anonymous, we got a few anonymous emails tonight. studio@mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
We actually already got a call. Can you believe this?
We got a call right now?
Right now. Let's
see. First one.
Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, it's Paul. I was at yesterday's service, and Nate had been talking about conforming. And I had a question. Is it considered conforming when we say sucks, jacked up, and freaking? I mean, it doesn't sound very good as a Christian to cuss like that, even if it is substituting bad words. And I was just wondering, is that considered conforming?
That's a great question.
That is a good question. And the difficulty with this, I forgot your name, I'm sorry.
I believe it was Paul.
Paul?
Right, Paul?
Yeah. The difficulty with this, Paul, is that we have to define our terms that you just spoke of and you said, are these cuss words okay to say? So we have to define our terms of what is considered a cuss word.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, 50 years ago, there was a lot of things that were considered a cuss word that are very, very used words nowadays. And also there was a lot of words that were used back then that we would not use today.
Right.
For instance, I listened to some of Chuck Smith's older teachings, and he'll straight up say damn, jackass, and use a lot of things that if we were to use it today,
right,
it would give the wrong impression and it would offend people. So we have to keep in mind that terms and words constantly change. Now, does that mean that any words you can say, okay, cool, words change, so in 10 years I can drop the F-bomb from the pulpit? No, that's there's certain words that are outright wrong because of what they mean, because of the actual definition behind it, the connotation, and because they're widely accepted by pretty much everyone as wrong. But also we have to keep in mind that this idea of cursing is something that I call a geographical sin. And what I mean by that is that here in America, if someone drops the F-bomb, you immediately look at them and say, how dare you use
right.
that word? Now, if you go to England, for instance, I have some friends who have a church out there, and I was out there one time, and they were playing basketball, and one of them used the F word. And everyone in the room that was American was extremely shocked.
Right.
And after seeing everyone look at him like that for a second, he realized what had happened. He said, I'm so sorry. Here in England, that word is not considered a bad word like it is in America. We use it like we would use just a normal word for, oh, that sucks, or, oh, man, that's a bummer.
Right.
They use it in a lot different way, and it's not considered as bad. We talked about this before with drinking as well. In Germany, for instance, drinking after church is completely okay,
yeah,
and a lot of people do it, whereas here in America, it's frowned upon. So we have to keep in mind these are geographical sins, and it's not something expressly talked about within the scripture as well.
I would also say, to answer the question, because I remember the first time, a couple weeks ago, I got an email that hit me pretty hard that was saying, Steve-O, there's nothing edifying about you. You're not really a Christian. How can you say curse words on the morning show? And I was like, did I cuss on the morning show? How would I cuss on the morning show? Oh my gosh, how did I?
Yeah.
And so as I was talking to this person, because I kind of freaked out, he said, my family would never use that language. And I said, what language was that? He said, sucks. And I was like, oh. And I almost, like, this sigh of relief came over me, sort of, because I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that offended you. I had no idea that word was offensive. And so we actually took it back there to Romans, and I had a great conversation with Pastor Nelson Walker here. Mm-hmm. I should say Dr.
Nelson Walker.
One of the smartest dudes in the world. Anyways, Dr. we were Pastor. Talking about that. And what in Romans chapter 12 specifically, and conforming to the patterns of the world. And now we have to, in context, take that scripture and look at verse 1, which you actually taught on this weekend, which is great.
This weekend.
To present ourselves as a living sacrifice. The patterns of the world at this time, it's not talking about the clothes we wear, the things we say. It's not talking about tattoos. It's not even talking about drinking or smoking or anything like that. When it's talking about conforming to the patterns of the world, before that, it gives us a call to present ourselves as a living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable,
holy
which
and
is
acceptable,
your reasonable service.
Which means to live selflessly.
Yeah.
Which means something deeper than just a cultural what I'm wearing. What I'm saying, the makeup I'm using, the whatever it may be culturally, to conform to the patterns of the world is to live selfishly.
Yeah.
To conform to the patterns of the world is to live in arrogance, to live in pride, to squash humility and selflessness and everything that verse 1 is talking about when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice.
Yeah, and we have to keep in mind too, when Paul says do not be conformed to this world, what he's speaking of specifically is the world system and the world thinking that is naturally hostile to God,
right,
and that is naturally anti-Christian,
right,
is what Paul is specifically speaking of. He's not speaking of necessarily specific actions. He's speaking of a world system and a world thinking that is hostile to God that can creep into a Christian's life, and more than bring in specific sins, that can draw them away from God and from their relationship with God by infiltrating the image of Christ with the image of the world. That is a life that is controlled and dominated by sins of the flesh.
Because, and I know how confusing this can be, because I remember coming back and when we're doing the morning show and the things we do, that gets thrown out a lot, actually. You guys are conforming to the patterns of the world. Well, what are the patterns of the world? You know, is it, oh, well, the world loves cheeseburgers. Well, the world, I mean, people could take it wherever they would like if that was the context it was used in, but that's not what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12.
Now, on the same note, we don't want to stumble our brothers. We don't want to stumble those who are around us. And typically, if someone's gotten offended by my speech before, then what I'll usually do is I'll apologize, and then next time I see them, I'll make sure to not talk like that in front of them, because I don't want them to be offended. And I don't want to cause a brother to stumble. But equally, we're told also in Romans, actually in Romans chapter 14, he's talking about judging, and he's talking about don't judge your brother for what he eats, don't judge your brother for what he drinks, don't judge your brother for whether or not he celebrates the Sabbath on the sixth day or the seventh day. And he kind of goes through this list of judging. And equally, as though we're not to stumble our brothers, we're also not to judge others for things that aren't specifically mentioned in Scripture. What you're talking about here is a gray area. And these gray areas within our walks with Christ, it's just as much of a sin to stumble your brother, just as much of a sin as well to judge someone based on something that they're doing that is a gray area and that isn't expressly talked about in Scripture.
It's not an essential.
It's not an essential. It is a non-essential point.
Does that help you?
Yes, and I truly appreciate your views.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Right on. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to get your questions in. As we said, Shock Therapy Live, it's not a cultural show.
No.
It's not
well,
a show
kind
that,
of a cultural
you know,
show.
Well, you know, from a sense of we don't care what the media says. We don't care what a pastor says from the pulpit.
I kind of care what Britney Spears says, though.
We care what the Bible says, and that's what it is. This is a show that is founded in a biblical worldview. So if you have a question, I don't even care what my opinion is. I don't care what Nate's opinion is. I care what the Bible has to say. So what we are
equipping you. I care what your opinion is, you
jerk. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Man.
We care more about what the Bible has to say. You take that, and there you go. That's kind of the challenge, because I think a lot of times people want that spoon-fed, is this right or is this wrong? Well, actually, here's what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
How about you go, do you take that back to the Father and figure some things out? There, of course, are some absolutes. But we actually had a great question speaking into Bible worldview, biblical worldview, and what that means.
Killer question. Do you want to read it? I'll read
sure.
it.
Sure. Go ahead, man.
This is a question from Valerie, and she says, many of us believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. I do too, Valerie. Amen. That it's the living and for every moment in time for every single living person. Yet I hear many of the same people saying, but you have to take into consideration the time, the culture, etc. And some of that isn't for us today. People seem to apply this to their own preferences and opinions instead of just submitting to the mighty word of God, period. I believe the former. What say you? Valerie, first of all, I completely agree the Bible is the inerrant word of God. However, I also believe that there are certain passages that are directed towards certain people groups that we as modern day Christians not only can't claim for ourselves, but we're not called to submit to them as well. And that's not just something I'm saying. This is something that we're finding in the New Testament as well.
Right. You're talking about hermeneutics right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. We're getting into
systematic theology.
But this is something that I want to draw your attention to Peter. For instance, let's talk about red meat. We read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26, that you shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. So it puts these two things one on one. Now, I agree that divination and soothsaying isn't bad. No, don't do that.
It is bad.
It is bad.
It's very bad.
But red meat, obviously, we don't think is bad. And we find this where Peter, in Acts, receives a vision, and an angel of the Lord comes to him and takes him up to heaven, and he sees all this red meat, and the angel says, eat. And Peter says, I'm not going to eat what is unclean. And the angel responds, do not call unclean what the Lord has made clean.
Right.
And this is a clear image that something happened when Jesus Christ came, and it's what we call the new covenant. And that new covenant wiped out the old covenant. What the old covenant was a series of rules and regulations by which the Jewish people had to live for redemption of sins. And that's the key point there. They had to do this list of things for their sins to be redeemed and forgiven.
Right.
Now, when Jesus Christ came, the means of forgiving sins changed, and that means was the blood of Jesus Christ. So that means that no longer is there a list of rules and regulations by which we have to live, although we do still try to live a holy life which is sanctified before God, but those little things, the red meat, also in that list is that you can't trim your beard,
right.
That you can't have tattoos, different things like that. Those are all part of the old covenant that are no longer necessarily applicable to the Christian in this day and age. Now, Valerie, I do agree with you, though. I hate it when people use this for their own preferences and for their own opinions
right.
rather than what the Bible says. I hear people say this all the time. Well, you know, that's not applicable that we can't live with our girlfriends and that we can't have sex anymore. You know, this day and age, we have a free love community, and this is free sex, and we can just skronk however much we want to, and it doesn't matter. You know,
Did you just say skronk?
I said skronk.
Wow, okay.
You know, and people use this nowadays to really transform what the Bible is saying into what their own view of the Bible is.
Right.
Rather than something that the Bible expressly talks about, the new covenant and how the old covenant is wiped clean. That's talked about in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible is it talked about that, hey, 200 years from now, it's okay to have sex. Right now, it's bad, but in 200 years from now, go for it.
Right.
That's not in the Bible. So since it's not in the Bible, we cannot say that that has changed and that that is no longer applicable to us.
I immediately think of circumcision. You know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
For the Jew, I mean, that was pretty pertinent, you know? And then, Paul, in the New Testament talks about in Galatians saying, look, there are people out there saying you have to be circumcised. That's no longer the case. In fact, I wish those agitators would go the full distance
Cut
and
it
castrate
all off.
Themselves.
Yeah.
That's how kind of bugged he was about them saying that. So yeah, there were things in the Old Testament that we are no longer under, as you said, the new covenant. Dude, great question, Valerie and Edgewood. If you'd like to get your question in, you can do so. studio@mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to email us anonymously, you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or of course, give us a call, 505-338-3700 or 505-338-3701. Now, we got a question last week that we didn't get around to about drugs. A friend was dealing with drug addiction and just needed some clarity, needed some scriptures they could turn to try and minister to their friend.
Hmm.
What say you, Pastor Nate?
Okay.
It's a heavy show tonight. We've gotten some phenomenal questions tonight.
Right away, we've got a lot of great questions tonight.
Yeah.
But this issue of drug abuse is a very difficult thing to minister to someone on, because it's what we talked about when we talked about homosexuality. Remember, we called this a life-altering sin.
Right.
And that's what drugs are as well. It's a life-controlling sin. And once you get involved with drugs, it's extremely hard to get out of drugs. It's extremely hard to rid yourself of drugs. So there's a few things. First of all, I don't think we really need to go into the idea that the Bible says that drugs are bad.
Right, drugs are bad, okay?
We already talked about... oh my gosh, did you just do...
I did.
Wow.
They
that
are,
makes me...
But they are. I mean,
me
that's sound,
happy.
Right? That's sound.
Yeah.
They are bad, okay?
Okay. Okay, so... Okay. I cannot be serious now, Steve-O. You just totally blew this for me.
I apologize. We don't need to get into the fact that the Bible says that drugs are bad, because drugs are horrible.
Drugs are horrible.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So... really quick, just to cover on the idea that drugs are bad biblically. The Bible doesn't specifically talk about heroin or marijuana or any other drug, many of which I'm unfamiliar with because I don't do drugs.
That's
but
good.
The Bible isn't specific about drugs, mainly because they didn't exist back in biblical times. Now, what the Bible does talk about is drunkenness. And the Bible explicitly condemns any kind of substance abuse. And I want to note that the Bible explicitly condemns any substance abuse, not just drinking, but also even eating more food than you should.
Right.
Engorging yourself.
Right.
The Bible consistently condemns drug abuse
what
and any kind of substance
drugs?
Abuse. Well, we talked about that before, actually. You went back on something we talked about before. Now, there's a difference between abuse and use.
Right.
Now, use...
Well, that's what I'm saying, abuse. Like, you can abuse people
prescription
abuse
drugs.
Prescription drugs regularly and say, well, but these are legal. These are...
Yeah.
It's prescription.
Remember, we talked about this when we talked about medicinal marijuana. And this is the idea that if a doctor has prescribed you something for medical use, then just as Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach on occasion, this is something the doctor has given to help you with a specific medical need.
Right.
Now, if you take your drugs home and you decide, hey, I've got this Vicodin and this Percocet, and I was told to take one an hour, but you pop seven of them, and you try to give yourself an awesome time, well, then that's considered an abuse and not a use.
Right.
So there's certain things that we can say we can use and not abuse, but at the same time, doctors don't prescribe heroin.
Right.
Doctors don't prescribe a lot of those hardcore narcotics. So you can't say, well, I'm just using it, not abusing it. Because
I have a really bad headache, so I have to do three lines of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to work out for me.
Hey, that happens to all of us. Don't judge. Judge not lest you be judged, jerk.
But seriously.
You know, that is, no matter how much of that you use, that is an abuse of that substance, because it you don't have to do five lines of heroin to alter your personality and your thinking. You do one line of heroin and you're going to be pretty jacked up for the rest of the night.
Right.
So, you know, drug use is something that alters our personality and alters our relationship with God. And so because of that, we believe that it is inherently wrong.
Right.
Now, on the note of how to deal with someone who's having a drug addiction, like we said, this is a difficult addiction to face, because people most often are in denial that they're addicted to drugs.
Right.
They're in denial, and then when you confront them about it, they can be very hostile. So it's important when you're talking to someone who has a drug addiction or has a drug abuse problem, you want to lead them to realize and admit on their own merit that they have a drug problem. If you come up to them and you say, hey, you've got a drug problem, you've got to change, they're going to immediately become defensive, evasive, they're going to become sneaky, and they're going to refuse to recognize and admit the problem.
Right.
But instead, it's good to gently and slowly guide this person to recognize and to admit this problem. And there's a few ways that you can do that, but you want to very slowly and kindly lead them to realize that they have a problem. And once they've admitted that they have a problem, it's a lot easier from there. Now, does that mean that it's immediately going to be a thing where you can say, hey, great, you're never going to struggle again? No, it's going to be a long, hard process. And it's going to take a long time. And it's going to take a lot of therapy. It's going to take a lot of rehabilitation to get them off that drug. But it's important that they first recognize that they have a problem, because if you don't recognize you have a problem, no one can help you. You know, if I were to get my leg chopped off and I refused to recognize that my leg was chopped off, then I would not be able to get the help that I needed.
Right.
If you come up to me and you said, hey, Nate, your leg's gone. And I said, no, it's not. Dude, what are you talking about? You're crazy. My leg's right here. And you say, no, Nate, you're bleeding all over me and it's really gross. No, Steve-O, that's not blood. That's just water that I spilt, bro. You know, you can't fix the problem unless you recognize that there's a
problem. Exactly. There you go.
So you got to recognize that there's a problem. And, you know, there's a lot that we could go into on this. And we could probably spend a whole show talking about drug abuse.
Right.
But if you have someone that you know that's struggling with drug abuse, first of all, get them to admit that they have a problem. Get mm-hmm. them to realize that that problem is a sin, and then enlist help for them. Find them a rehab facility. Find them people that can help them specifically.
Right.
If you're trying to counsel them on your own and you're not a professional counselor, don't. Find a professional counselor for them or somebody, a therapist that can actually help them with the psychological issues that they're dealing with there, and try to get them the help that they really need.
And there are many, I mean, in the Albuquerque area alone, I could think of a few offhand, you know, NA aside.
Yeah.
There are many programs that you can get involved in or that your friend can get involved in. Absolutely.
So really, do you have any of those on hand? Do you know any of the
I thought of Caseman. I thought of Caseman right away as the first hospital that I could think of offhand. And then, yeah, I would have to call up a friend of mine who was a member of NA for a long time. So that's usually
that
what I do, actually.
Page.
If I ever get that question, I usually call my friend and say, hey, man, resources. Help a brother out. And then he... you know, gives me all the 19,000 resources.
Yeah, and keep in mind with drug abuse that oftentimes there's other things that are going on within their life that are going to have to be addressed as well, not just drug abuse, because drug abuse, well, oftentimes, especially with females in particular, they lead to other sins where they'll have to give themselves sexually to receive the drug that they need and indulge in a lot of other sins. So it's going to have to be dealt with, not just with the drug, but really with a total lifestyle change in who
Absolutely.
They are.
Well, and the bottom line is usually no matter the addiction, whatever the addiction is, whether you're struggling with drugs or, as we're going to talk about coming up in the next segment, pornography, masturbation, mm-hmm. any addiction that we're talking about here is you selfishly taking your focus away from Jesus Christ and trying to fulfill that desperate, dire need in your heart with something other than him.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be that hole. And so no matter what your addiction is, once you get off of that addiction, if you do not fill that hole, if you do not fill yourself with Jesus Christ, then you're just going to move on to something else.
Yep.
So, yeah. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Coming right back. We got to take a quick break.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yes, dude. Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live, your one-hour call-in show. I am your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
What's up, guys?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Dude, we have had a mountain of questions so far.
We have a lot. We can't get to them all. Right now, we're going to let you know we're not going to get to all the questions.
But that's why we do this every single week. So if you have questions, comments, concerns, whatevers, send them in to us. Facebook.com/mystaticradio or, of course, studio at mystaticradio.com.
And I will say this. If you really want your question answered, the questions that will always be answered first are the phone-in ones.
That's true.
So if you really want your question answered, call in and ask the question on air and be brave and hear your voice on the radio.
505-338-3700. Now, we were talking about drug addiction, which kind of gears us towards another email we got that, you know, an anonymous email. You want me to read it? Would you like to read
it?
Yeah. Let's see
here.
You have to go down to it. Blam.
That one?
Okay. Let's say, I'd like to stay anonymous.
That's okay.
That's totally cool. I've been struggling with an addiction to... Oh, why did you just press that button?
I didn't know that the screen had buttons. Sorry,
That's
bro.
Okay. That's okay.
There we go.
There you go. I've been struggling with an addiction to porn and masturbation since I was 12 years old, and I'm 16 now. I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm truly sorry for what I've done. But what do I need / should I do now? Thanks, guys. Dude, first of all, crazy awesome question. Thank you for being bold enough to email that in. You know, I was guest speaking at a youth event this last Friday night, and I talked a little about that with my personal struggle with lust. And afterwards, I was able to talk to a kid who came up to me with almost the exact same thing and said, look, dude, struggling. I need help. How do I get that? First of all, the fact that you even have admitted this, the fact that you have, as we said with the drug addiction,
the
fact
step.
That you've admitted it, the fact that you're coming out and saying, look, I struggle with this, is a huge step, because a lot of times we as Christians feel like we have to hide our filth, our sin, because it's like, but I'm a Christian, and Christians don't struggle. Christians don't have these thoughts or desires. Christians don't deal with this, and we do. And if you keep it bottled up, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. You're just going to crumble, and you're going to die. So thanks for sending in that email. Now, to answer that, where does this person go from here?
Well, what I would recommend that you do, once again, this is what we talked about, a life-dominating sin.
Right.
This is something that some people never overcome, which, to Mr. Anonymous, my exhortation to you is that you're at a very young age right now, and you're in a place where this can be beat. So know that, and you have to keep that in your mind, that this can be beat, this can be exterminated from your life, but it's going to take a lot of time, and it's going to take a lot of energy on your part, and solid study in the Bible, and it's going to be hard, but it is possible to get done. But I encourage you to do it now, because if you don't, this can become something that can truly dominate your life for your entire life. I remember my dad one time talked to a man on his deathbed, a Christian guy, had gone to church for years, and on his deathbed he said that there was not a day in his life where he overcame the sin of pornography.
Dude.
And this was an old man who had grown up in the church all his life. So this is a serious sin, not just in the world, but in the church today.
Yeah, two things come to my mind immediately. I actually just wrote an article about this for the next Static paper. One, time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Two, accountability.
Yep.
I cannot stress the importance of accountability. Accountability is something I personally didn't have much of in my life. But we need the people around us who are willing to call us out on our crap and say, dude, how are you doing today? What's going on? Talk me through your day. Talk me through your thoughts. Talk me through,
and not just people that are willing to call you up, but people that you're willing to tell anything to.
Exactly. And you have to be honest with these people. I have a few accountability partners that I know no matter what, I can go to this person. And one, if I go to this person, I never have this fear of like, oh man, is he going to judge me? Is he going to say there? Is he going to do? No, dude. But you need that accountability. I think, I think that's one of Satan's biggest lies is like, dude,
You're the only one.
One of my life verses, a verse that God placed on my heart, and it was like one of the most powerful things that helped me overcome this was this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now first, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You are not alone. You are not the only person that has dealt with this. You're not the only person that's ever going to deal with this. You're not the last person that's going to struggle with this.
As a matter of fact, most males deal with this.
Absolutely. And so I love that it continues and it says, and God is faithful. It's not like, and you're awesome. No, you're not awesome.
Yeah.
We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. But nothing has overtaken us except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
Yeah.
Period. And he will always provide a way out. Now, here's the thing. God always provides an escape. He will always provide a way out. His word says this. This is a promise he has given to us. Now, the question is, when he throws you that rope, are you going to grab it and pull yourself out of that hole? Because I remember a lot of times where I was in a situation and God provides a way out through a friend calling me on the phone, or, you know, all of a sudden somebody's knocking at my door and it's like, am I going to answer the door or am I going to continue in this filth? Am I gonna take this phone call? And it's this internal bat. You, dude, grab the rope.
Yeah.
Grab the rope and pull yourself out.
You know, you gotta spot where it is that you're falling into the sin. You've got to look at your life and see, when do I most often fall into the sin of pornography and masturbation? Is it at nighttime when I'm by myself in my room with my computer? If that's the case, well then guess what you do? Get rid of your computer.
Absolutely.
You toss that thing in the trash can if you have to. And you say, well, hold on, I need it for homework, or I need it for this part of my life. We're told in Matthew that it's better for one member to perish than for your entire body. That means whatever it is in your life that's causing you to fall into this sin, you've got to get rid of. So right. If that's after you're done doing homework and it's at your house, then start a new plan that every time you're done with homework, go on a run or go do something that you normally don't do.
Right.
So you've got to realize and look at, because with addictions, there's always a habit that follows that. And it's a consistent way in which this person usually falls into this addiction, a time, a place, where they're at, who they're with,
right,
that causes this addiction to fall into your life. So you've got to look at where it is that this is happening and combat combat it with active steps into removing this from your life.
Dear,
and there's some other great ways too. There's a great program called Triple X Church
that is fantastic.
You can download this program onto your computer. I forget what the actual program is called. I know the website's Triple X Church.
Right.
But this program downloads and it runs silently and hidden in the background. And what it does is it sends once a week a list of any questionable websites that you viewed to three accountability partners. And it sends it to these accountability partners and they're able to see any site that you viewed that was questionable and they're able to call you on it.
Yeah.
And this is a really helpful way to have consistent accountability even when you might not want to share it with somebody. And it's a great, great program to download on your computer. I'd say, I think every guy, whether they struggle with pornography or not, should have it on there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's difficult. I think of the rich young ruler who's like, what do I gotta do? I'm doing all these things. And it's like, You gotta get rid of this. You gotta give away, you know, and it's like, oh, that's hard. I don't want to do that. It's hard.
It is.
It's gonna take a lot of discipline. I had to leave a job.
Yeah.
I had to leave a job because it was, the temptation was so great. I had to get out of there. I have a wife and two kids and I'm going, how am I gonna handle it? How am I gonna take care of my family? But I knew that God is faithful. As his word says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, write it on your heart. God is faithful. He provided a way of escape. He has taken care of my family. I mean, obviously, I had to go get more work.
Yeah.
Money didn't just magically fall from the sky. But God is so faithful, and you have to remember, one, you're not alone, and two, God will always provide a way out.
And know this, Jeremiah 29 says that God's plans for you are of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And God's will and God's desire for you is that you live a sanctified, pure life.
Right.
And if that's the case, then God, when he's leading you out of a sin, will provide for you what you need to get out of that sin. So something like Siva said that might sound so difficult and hard to actually get rid of in your life, if you take the active step, no matter how hard they seem, God will give you the strength you need to do that.
Right.
So I highly encourage you, look at the areas of your life that you realize are causing you to fall into sin and get rid of those. You know, I hear people all the time say, like you said, oh, well, I'll do whatever it takes to get rid of this sin. And what that really means is that they're willing to pray and read the Bible on occasion and see you once a week so that you can fix their problem.
Right.
And that's what it really means. They really have not submitted to doing everything that is needed, because everything that's needed, like we said before, is a 180-degree lifestyle change.
Right.
So if you're struggling, you're entrenched in pornography and masturbation, you need to completely change your lifestyle. Completely. That is from the bottom up. Your friends, what you do, what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, where you spend your time.
Yep.
Everything in your life has to change, because if it doesn't, you're going to become deeper entrenched into that sin, because sin thrives most often when we're comfortable.
Right.
And if you're in a comfortable place, then sin has a chance to thrive. But if you take yourself out of that comfort zone and put yourself in an uncomfortable place, maybe that's the loss of a job. Maybe that is taking your computer away, that you know you have to find a different place to do homework. You got to go to the library and use the computer.
Right.
There.
Right.
You know, whatever it is, if you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, then you'll have a better chance at combating that sin.
Amen, dude. There you go. Thank you so much, Anonymous, for sending in that email. And I would highly recommend thinking of, as we talked about accountability, name three people off the top of your head that just immediately comes to your mind. Do not wait. Call those people.
Yeah. And this needs to be someone that you can call at any time.
Yeah.
Someone that if at 2:30 in the morning you have thoughts to masturbate, that you can call that person at 2:30 in the morning and tell them directly, hey, I'm about to masturbate. I need you to pray with me.
Dude.
Because
amen.
If there's not someone that you can be that direct and that honest with, then you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're not going to be able to combat it on your own. And as nice as it sounds to say, well, I'll just pray and I'll just ask Jesus to get me through it and not do anything else, well, then you're not really submitting to the help that Jesus wants to give. Because the help that Jesus wants to give involves fellowship with the saints and involves help from other believers.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better, Pastor. Thank you.
You did already say it better.
Shock Therapy Live. Thank you guys for joining us. 505-338-3700 or, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can also email us as we just got that anonymous email at studio@MyStaticRadio.com. It is a packed evening.
We keep getting questions.
Okay. Dude, wow. Phenomenal question. We've been getting a lot of questions tonight. We got a few minutes before we have to take another break. You have like
we've got a few.
You have
few
the computer
minutes.
In front of you. Which would you? Oh, look at this.
A call.
I guess this settles it right here. Shock Therapy Live.
Hi. I am just gonna be straight because Christians need this.
Yeah.
Women struggle with masturbation too.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is a human issue. Yeah, exactly.
As a matter of fact, more and more recently, women are consistently, as the years go by, the number of women that struggle with masturbation is increasing on a yearly basis.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that does not, you know, that doesn't change.
What was that? Yeah. What were you wanting to say in addition to that?
Oh, yeah, stuff. I used to struggle with it. I would pray and till it went away, you know, that feeling.
Right.
And then God showed me, it's like, do you want to be controlled by something that satisfies you for like 5 minutes as an orgasm or whatever? And another person was going to get married, and she was addicted to it. And she's like, well, what if my husband can't satisfy me?
Right.
There's lots of ramifications going on for it. And then, like you said, scripture in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean it's going to be simple.
Right,
but it's,
right.
But it's doable.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. And I'll tell you what, thank you so much for calling and being bold and stating everything that you've stated, because it's true. I think people need to hear the fact. I always believed, dude, I struggled with sex. Sex addiction, if you could call it that. And I always believed that when I got married, well, I could have sex all the time.
Yeah, it's going to go
away. It's totally going to go away. I'm just going to have sex with my wife all the time, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be perfect, and things are going to be wonderful. And
if that were the case, there would be no affairs.
Right, and when that still did not satisfy me, I was lost, because what I thought was going to answer that, what I thought was going to satisfy that, didn't. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. And rather than turn to Christ, rather than turn to his word, to my friends, to the people around me, I turned to sex, because that's what I knew. And I knew, hey, this is going to satisfy me. Did it ever satisfy me? No.
You know,
ever.
You know what it really boils down to is where you're seeking your validation from.
Right.
If you're seeking it from man or from God. If
Absolutely.
You go into a marriage expecting, or into anything expecting that this is going to solve my problems, I'm going to stop struggling with pornography, I'm going to stop struggling with masturbation or sex addiction because I'm married or because this is happening in my life. In that moment, you're seeking your validation from that person to get you out of that sin rather than from God. You're seeking that validation, you're seeking that hope and that help, not from Jesus Christ, but from the world. So the question is, where are we seeking our validation from? The number one thing that we need in our life is Jesus Christ. And if we are 100% committed and completely given to him, then everything else will fall into place.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the phone call.
All right. God bless.
All right. God bless you too. All right. Wow. Shock Therapy Live. You are listening to it. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's been a heavy night, dude.
It's been really heavy. We've had some crazy
amazing
questions.
It's been phenomenal. We've got a question that we will get to right after the break. We have a question on suicide that I definitely want to address this evening, that we will talk about. We're going to take a quick break.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me in studio, Pastor Nate Heitzig, my co-host, and I was going to say right-hand man. I don't even know what that
means. If they knew how much fun and how much we laughed in between breaks.
Dude, serious, I'm having a blasty blast.
I'm having... Such I don't know what tops a blasty blast.
Is it okay to say I'm having a blast when we're talking about heavy topics that we're talking about?
Because yeah, totally.
I just feel like God is doing something amazing right now, and so I'm pretty stoked that, one, we're getting people calling in and asking the hard questions, not systematic theology questions, not, hey, is it okay if I, no, but questions where it's something real, it's something personal in your life, you're struggling with an addiction, you're dealing with something, and you need help. That's what we're here for. That is the purpose
Yep.
of Shock Therapy Live, and to give you a biblical answer, a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Bible has to say, because it is God's inerrant word, and
Yep.
so it really all comes down to that. What does the Bible have to say? So if you have a question for us, give us a call, 505-338-3700, Shock Therapy Live. Hello. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. How's it going?
Okay, it's going.
Okay.
Okay, so, my mother-in-law was LDS, devout, her entire life. I was raised Roman Catholic. The reason why I even tell you what, I guess, the specific religion I am is because a month ago, she committed suicide. She's been battling depression and bipolar for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. And she just couldn't take it anymore, and she committed suicide. The LDS religion believes that they go up and they talk to God and hash that with God. And if he sees her heart and is all forgiving, then that's between him and her. I'm having a hard problem because I was raised Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. And Roman Catholic, you commit suicide, you go to purgatory. She was a wonderful person, so I'm having a hard time believing. I don't want to believe. That's why I can't believe that she would be in purgatory or even in hell.
Mm. Wow.
And it's making me question my religion, and it's like, it breaks me down all the time.
Right.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you for your question, first of all.
Thank you for the question. Thank you for the call.
I can't imagine how hard it is to come on the radio and share that personally of what's going on in your life. So we thank you for your question. And I just want to let you know that we have hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that hope and that knowledge is that we are judged in our lives by one thing and one thing alone. I want you to know that. Your mother is judged by one thing and one thing only in her life. She's not judged by her sin. She's not judged by the sins that she's committed. She's only judged on this question: did she accept Jesus Christ into her heart, or didn't she? That is the only thing that we are judged by when we come to the judgment seat of God, is what did you do with the name of my son? Yeah. You know, we see this with the thief on the cross. He was a guy hanging on the cross, had done heinous, horrible things, had sinned his entire life, and he was being crucified for it. And he simply had faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. And I want to point out, Jesus didn't tell him that he had to get off a cross and go repent to a priest.
Right.
Jesus didn't tell him that he had to go get baptized and get off the cross. Jesus didn't tell him, hey, get off the cross, go take communion, and then come back up here, and then you can be saved. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And we are confident that we are judged only on our belief in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we believe that God can conquer death. We read in John 10:27. It's a beautiful passage, and it speaks directly to this. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
Right.
My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you need to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to cover any sin. Any sin. That means the sin of murder. That means the sin of sexual temptation and lust. That means the sin of drugs. And that includes the sin of suicide. And you know, oftentimes the question is raised, well, is suicide the unforgivable sin? Is suicide the one sin that for some reason the blood of Jesus Christ just can't seem to cover? And the answer to that is no. And I don't know where this idea came from, but it's not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the only unforgivable sin that's talked about in the Bible is found in Matthew 12:31, and that's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is basically simply a way to put that you withstood the call of the Holy Spirit on your life for so long you never came to Christ. That is the only unforgivable sin in the Bible. But then people with this idea of suicide say, but does a person who commits suicide end his or her life with a sin that, because it's the final act of that person's life, cannot be confessed and forgiven? And I look at this in the same way that I look at it this way. If you were in a car accident, and as you were driving, you slammed into this car, and the last word that came out of your mouth was the F word, and you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, but you get in this car accident, and the last thing that comes out of your mouth is a curse word because you're scared. You get in a car accident, and then you die on impact. Is Jesus going to send you to hell because the last word that you said was a curse word? Is he going to send you to hell because the last thing that you did was a sin? And the answer to that is, of course, no. Jesus Christ forgives sin entirely. We believe in the principle that once you are saved, you are always saved. Once a person truly and completely gives their life to Jesus Christ and submits to both justification and sanctification, that person is forever saved. Mm-hmm. So in answer to the question, is suicide the unforgivable sin? No, it's not. Right. And that sin can be forgiven of, and that sin is forgiven of, as long as she had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, she did. She was devout LDS. She went every Sunday, every Wednesday. More than that, sometimes she was a good person. She just had so many problems, and we're all assuming she just couldn't deal with it anymore. And
well, do you know when she accepted Jesus Christ in her heart? Do you know if she personally asked Jesus Christ to come into her life?
I don't. I'm not sure. I'm sure she has.
Good.
I don't know if she. Right. I wasn't.
Well, that's
she was told about LDS that she wouldn't talk to me about religion because she knew that I was happy in my religion, but she didn't want to try to convert me or whatever, so she didn't talk to me about religious stuff. But
I just want to encourage you this. If you're confident that she said a prayer to accept Jesus Christ, then that means that she's saved. But I want to encourage you in your walk with God, because you're talking about being devout, and you're talking about going to church on a consistent basis. And I want to point out that being devout doesn't make you a child of God. Right. Going to church on a consistent basis doesn't make you a child of God. And being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Those things don't get you to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of good people that aren't going to make it to heaven. There's going to be a lot of religious people that won't make it to heaven. But what gets someone to heaven is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing that gets someone in or out of heaven, of whether or not they have a relationship with Christ. Right. So you need to understand that as long as your mom had that relationship with Christ, which you are sure that she did, then you need to know that she's in heaven. And there's not a thing that can change that. If she has a relationship with Christ, then she is in heaven. And there's no way around that.
Okay.
Does that help you out, Heather?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I'm struggling more with the fact that it's making me question my religion than it is
right.
whether or not she went up there or not.
How is it making you question your religion?
Well, there's a few things that I don't really understand about the Catholic religion as it is, and then this is just a big one that's added to the plate. So,
you know, I will say this, because I want to point out that we as Christians often divide ourselves into sects. We divide ourselves into Catholics or Baptists or Protestants or LDS or Lutheran or any of these different things. And what it really does is break the heart of God, because there's no such divisions in the Bible. We're called to simply be a little Christ. We're called to be a Christian and submit to the will of God. And I will say this, as you're talking about questioning your religion, there's a lot of things that churches put on their congregations, which isn't necessarily in the Bible and is not a relationship with God, but is religion. And for instance, those things are, you have to get baptized at a certain time. You have to confess and say certain prayers. You have to take communion a certain way. And
confession was my biggest one that I had, because I've been taught my entire life by the Catholic Church that I can speak straight to God. So what do I need a priest to tell me? Say 10 Hail Marys and you'll be forgiven.
Exactly.
If I can talk straight to him, then he can tell me that I'm forgiven himself.
That's insight on your part.
Right.
That's what that is.
That's called wisdom.
Yeah, that is
so
that is
I know,
good.
But that's been a big one for me. I haven't gone to confession since I was like 10. I talk to him myself. And just like in church today, right before we receive communion, there's a part that says, the whole congregation stands up and stuff, and we speak and we say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And I just started bawling in the middle of church because I was so afraid that my mother-in-law didn't ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, know this, whether or not your mother-in-law asked for forgiveness before she died, if she had Jesus Christ in her heart, she is in heaven. And I don't care what any priest, what any pope tells you, that is the truth. And that's not from a church. That's not from religion. That's from the Word of God.
Right.
And the Word of God stands the test of time, and the Word of God is without error. So you need to know, not from a pastor, not from a priest, not from a pope, from the Word of God, if your mother had a relationship with Jesus Christ, then she's saved and then she's in heaven. And that's the truth of the gospel. And anyone who says otherwise is misquoting and misrepresenting what the Bible really says.
Absolutely.
So you need to understand that is the truth, that your mother is saved if she had a relationship with Christ.
Okay.
And on this idea of questioning your faith and questioning your religion, I think it's important not to say that you're questioning your faith, not to say that you're questioning your relationship with God.
I'm not at all questioning that I have a relationship with God or with Jesus. I'm questioning where they come up with this stuff.
That's right. Like, that's good. And that's a valid question. I wonder the same thing sometimes,
absolutely,
of where people come up with this stuff.
That's biblical. Because test all things. I mean, we have to test all things.
Be as the Bereans, yeah, testing all things. You know, this is found even when Paul came to the Berean church, and Paul was the man. He's the guy who really wrote everything that we believe as Christians. Paul came to the Bereans, and it says that the Bereans tested these things to make sure that they were true.
Right.
And I encourage you to do the same. Anything that your religion tells you you have to do to be saved, before just believing that and before accepting that as, oh, that's got to be true because he said it and he's in a robe, before you just do that, test it with what the Bible says. Read what the scripture says. Read what the Bible says about it, and take the Bible's word for it, not someone else's word for it.
Absolutely. As we were just talking about Romans chapter 12, about how we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that renewing of our minds comes through the Word of God,
yeah,
and only through, you know.
Now, I will say this. I've known a lot of Catholics that are devout believers in Jesus Christ that I sincerely will be in heaven. I believe that they'll be in heaven. I know a lot of Baptists is the same way, that I sincerely believe will be in heaven. I know a lot of Protestants, Lutherans, I could go on and on, that I believe they're going to be in heaven. But being a Catholic does not get you to heaven. Being a Baptist does not get you to heaven. Being a Lutheran does not get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Nothing added, nothing subtracted. It's just Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that will get you there. Baptism won't get you to heaven. Communion won't get you to heaven. Confession won't get you to heaven, except for confession to Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the only thing that determines salvation.
Thank you so much, Heather, for calling in.
No problem. Right.
Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you have questions, I saw you Facebooked us. Feel free to email us. Feel free to call. And we can go from there, because the idea of questioning where you're at right now, not your faith, but questioning your religion.
It's a good thing.
I really believe it's
a good thing to question religion.
So thank you so much for the call.
No problem, guys. Right, have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Shock Therapy Live.
Do we have another phone call? Is that another?
No. That was her on the line.
Her on the line.
Man.
Craziness.
Wow. We got about 3 minutes left of show. If you would like to eke in a question, 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you're just joining us and you have no idea what this is our one-hour call-in show with myself and Pastor Nate Heitzig. And we're going to do this every Sunday night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we want your questions. We want to know what's on your heart, what's on your mind. In fact, somebody's calling in right now. Here, let's see what we got. Shock Therapy Live.
Good evening, gentlemen. What's up?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You know, it's not really a question as much as an observation. I'm listening to my brothers and sisters come forward with their different problems, and you know, some are really, really extreme. They're all you know, sin based and this and that, and it's something that I noticed this weekend. You know, when you get involved in a situation like that where you find yourself struggling, I mean, the act of being honest, the act of being honest with yourself about it, being courageous and sincere, gives momentum, it seems to me, to so many other people.
Mm.
And that act in itself, man, and it's through the power of Jesus Christ, like her calling in just now, or me showing up at a church, or whatever the case may be. But when you see somebody's testimony, like the young man that even took the, you know, was so courageous just to type that in, he's helped so many other guys his age, and he's probably not aware of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
and I'm blown away when something bad happens and we make a conscious decision to do the right thing and go to Jesus Christ with it and be obedient and make the changes, that gives momentum such an amazing amount of momentum to so many people that we'll probably never even meet.
Right.
But, I was blown away tonight listening to this show, knowing that each person that called in, each person that took the time to write into you guys, you know, that's what they're doing.
Right.
Amen.
Right on.
And I was blown away by it. But yeah, man, you guys are doing a great job, and thanks a lot. That's an awesome show tonight.
Dude, thank you so much, bro.
Thanks for the encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later.
Hey, really quick, we got a question on here.
Yeah.
On on the email.
Yeah.
I just burped on the air.
That's
I just had a burp.
It's shock therapy, whatever.
We got an email from someone that says, my stepdaughter says that she is gay. Mm-hmm. She's not practicing a Christian lifestyle, obviously. I told her God still loves her, but she has to change and live the way Jesus lived while he was here. She said, well, does that mean that I can't be gay? I don't know what to tell her. I don't want to scare her away. I think if we get her in the door of the church, God will take care of the rest. Hey, this is a huge question, and we're not going to have time to tackle it, but right. I want to let you know that we tackled this question a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we almost spent the entire segment talking specifically about homosexuality.
Yeah.
We covered
40
it in
minutes.
Depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, every little thing that you could talk about. So I want to let you know, if you wrote that question, if you have questions about homosexuality, we're getting ready to be putting all the Shock Therapy Live segments up on a podcast. We're going to have mm-hmm. our own website soon, and that's going to be coming up really, really soon. We're going to give you all the information on that, and hopefully we'll have even the topics separated into subject content so you can easily find a topic that you have a question with. But we want to get all that on there for you, so keep that in mind. Check out our website. We're going to let you guys know about that later on as it comes closer to that moment.
Absolutely. Stick close to mystaticradio.com. And again, with your questions, if something pops up midweek, studio@mystaticradio.com. I'm here every day, and I'm keeping track of all the emails that come in. Fantastic show.
We've still got questions left hanging about cutting. Yep. We've got a question about cursing. We've got more questions about homosexuality, all of which we're going to try to tackle next week, so don't miss out.
Absolutely. All right. There it is. Shock Therapy Live every single Sunday night, 7 p.m. Dude, thank you, Pastor Nate.
Thank you, Pastor Steve-O.
Whatever.
Can I call you Pastor Steve-O?
You can
from now
if
on?
You want. You know, whatever. But anyways,
can I call
we
you Mr. Mr. Pastor?
Next
thank
Sunday
you, Mr.
night,
Pastor.
7 p.m.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.